Back. Oh, okay, we are playing the talk. Great. Can you hear me, Samia? Wait. So there is a little something though. How are we gonna get the audio? Give me just a second. So can we just get a confirmation? Can you start playing the talk now, Samir, please? So for everyone on the stream, bear with us just a little bit. We're trying to get it working. Right now, I'm not getting any audio from you, Samir. Samir, you might want to unmute yourself onto BBB. So if you could pause the video, go to BBB and unmute yourself. Okay, Samir, can you hear me now? Okay, so.
Okay. Let me start. Where is it? Okay, there we go.
That sounds great. Okay, we'll give you just a second to get squared away here. And thanks everybody on the stream for bearing with us.
Okay, sure. Samir, can you now start playing your talk?
Complex linguistic structures.
Okay, it is working. Can you...
Thank you for joining me today. I'm Samir Pradhan from the Linguistic Data Consortium at the University of Pennsylvania.
Samir, I'm sorry for interrupting. Can you pause the talk just for a second?
What happened?
Me.
Oh, you don't have audio. The thing was, no, audio is.
Okay, Samir, sorry, we were just doing some last minute checks. So yes, do exactly the same thing as you did. We'll be fine and we'll manage on our end. And sorry, everyone on the stream. We're just trying to do some last minute shuffling. And you are muted on BBB right now, so you will probably need to unmute yourself on BBB and then start the talk. So Samia, right now, sorry, could you, no, it's not working. You need to unmute yourself on BBB. So right now you need to click the button, the microphone. Yes, you toggled it off again. Toggle it on again, please.
What am I doing wrong?
So do not unmute yourself now. Stay, leave your microphone on and press, go back to the beginning of your video and press play.
Yes, from various signals. The work we present is limited to text and speech.
Good, it's working.
But it can be. Thank you for joining me today. I'm Samir Pradhan from the Linguistic Data Consortium at the University of Pennsylvania and founder of semantics.org. Today, we'll be addressing research in computational linguistics, also known as natural language processing, a sub-area of artificial intelligence with a focus on modeling and predicting complex linguistic structures from various signals. The work we present is limited to text and speech, but it can be extended to other signals. We propose an architecture, and we call it Grail, which allows the representation and aggregation of such rich structures in a systematic fashion. I'll demonstrate a proof of concept for representing and manipulating data and annotations for the specific purpose of building machine learning models that simulate understanding. These technologies have the potential for impact in almost every conceivable field that generates and uses data. We process human language when our brains receive and assimilate various signals, which are then manipulated and interpreted within a syntactic structure. It's a complex process that I have simplified here for the purpose of comparison to machine learning. Recent machine learning models tend to require a large amount of raw, naturally occurring data, and a varying amount of manually enriched data, commonly known as annotations. Owing to the complex and numerous nature of linguistic phenomena, we have most often used a divide and conquer approach. The strength of this approach is that it allows us to focus on a single or perhaps a few related linguistic phenomena. The weaknesses are the universe of these phenomena keep expanding as language itself evolves and changes over time. And second, this approach requires an additional task of aggregating interpretations, creating more opportunities for computer error. Our challenge then is to find the sweet spot that allows us to encode complex information without the use of manual annotation or without the additional task of aggregation by computers. So what do I mean by annotation? In this talk, the word annotation refers to the manual assignment of certain attributes to portions of a signal, which is necessary to perform the end task. For example, in order for the algorithm to accurately interpret a pronoun, it needs to know that pronoun, what that pronoun refers back to. We may find this task trivial. However, current algorithms repeatedly fail in this task. So the complexities of understanding in computational linguistics require annotation. The word annotation itself is a useful example because it also reminds us that words have multiple meanings, as annotation itself does. Just as I needed to define it in this context so that my message won't be misinterpreted, so too must annotators do this for algorithms through manual intervention. Learning from raw data, commonly known as unsupervised learning, poses limitations for machine learning. As I described, modeling complex phenomena need manual annotations. The learning algorithm uses these annotations as examples to build statistical models. This is called supervised learning. Without going into too much detail, I'll simply note that the recent popularity of the concept of deep learning is an evolutionary step where we have learned to train models using trillions of parameters in ways that they can learn richer hierarchical structures from very large amounts of annotated data. These models can then be fine-tuned using varying amounts of annotated examples, depending on the complexity of the task, to generate better predictions. As you might imagine, manually annotating complex linguistic phenomena can be very specific, labor-intensive task. For example, imagine if we were to go back through this presentation and connect all the pronouns with the nouns to which they refer. Even for a short 18-minute presentation, this would require hundreds of annotations. The models we build are only as good as the quality of the annotations we make. We need guidelines that ensure that the annotations are done by at least two humans who have substantial agreement with each other in their interpretations. We know that if we try to train a model using annotations that are very subjective or have more noise, we will receive poor predictions. Additionally, there is the concern of introducing various unexpected biases into one's models. So, annotation is really both an art and a science. In our remaining time, we will turn to two fundamental questions. First, how can we develop a unified representation of data and annotations that encompasses arbitrary levels of linguistic information? There is a long history of attempting to answer this first question. This history is documented in our recent article. It is as if we have, as a community, have been searching for our own holy grail. The second question we will pose on is, what role might Emacs, along with argmode, play in this process? While the solution itself may not be tied to Emacs, Emacs has built-in capabilities that could be useful for evaluating potential solutions. It's also one of the most extensively documented pieces of software and the most customizable piece of software that I have ever come across. And many would agree that with that. In order to approach this second question, we turn to the complex structure of language itself. At first glance, language appears to us as a series of words. Words form sentences, sentences form paragraphs, and paragraphs form completed texts. If this was a sufficient description of the complexity of language, all of us would be speak and read at least 10 different languages. We know it is much more complex than this. There is a rich underlying recursive tree structure. In fact, many possible tree structures, which makes a particular sequence and many others. One of the better understood tree structures is the syntactic structure. While natural language has rich ambiguities and complexities, programming languages are designed to be parsed and interpreted deterministically. Emacs has been used for programming very effectively. So there is a potential for using Emacs as a tool for annotation. This would significantly improve our current set of tools. It is important to note that most of the annotation tools that have been developed over the past few decades have relied on graphical indices, even those used for enriching textual indexing. Most of the tools in queues are designed for an end user to add very specific, very restricted information. Not really make use of the potential that an editor, rich editing environment like Emacs, can add to the mix. Emacs has long enabled the editing and manipulation of complex embedded tree structures abundant in source code. It's so difficult to imagine it would have capabilities that really represent natural language. In fact, it already does that with features that allow to quickly navigate sentences and graphs and with a few keystrokes. Add various text properties, text fans, create overlays to name but a few. Emacs has figured out way to handle Unix, so you don't have to worry about the complexity of managing all languages. It's into Emacs. In fact, this is not the first time Emacs is used for linguistic purposes. One of the breakthrough moments in language natural language processing was the creation of a newly created syntactic tree for a million word collection of Wall Street articles. This was 1990, before Java or graphical interfaces were common. The tool that was used to create that corpus was Emacs. And it was created Penn, formerly known as the Penn Tree Bank, and in 92, about when the linguistic consortium was established. It's been about 30 years that has been creating various language-related releases. In parallel to the outlining, rather enhanced outlining model allows to create outlines, attaching properties to nodes, and provides commands easily clustering some of various pieces of information as per one's requirement. This is also a very useful tool. This enhanced outline mode has more power points. It provides command for easily customizing and altering information, but at the same time hiding unnecessary context. It allows structural editing. This can be a very useful when we are focused on limited amount of now. The two together allow us to create a rich representation that can simultaneously capture multiple possible sequences, capture details necessary to read the original source, allows the creation of hierarchical representation, provides structural capabilities, that can take advantage of the concept of inheritance within the tree structure. Together, allow local manipulations structure, thereby minimize data coupling. Concept of tag org mode complement hierarchy. Hierarchies can be very rigid, but through tag on hierarchies, we can have a multi-faceted representations. As a matter of fact, org mode has the ability for tags to their own hierarchical structure. Further enhances the representational power. All of this will be done as sequence, mostly functional data transformation. Because most capabilities can be configured and customized, it's not necessary to do anything at once. Instead, it allows us to incrementally in the complexity of representation. Finally, all of this is done in plain text representation with its own advantages. Now, let's look at an example. Sentence is the thought of the moon with a telescope. Let's just make view of the sentence. And we do now is to see what the sentence comes. It has a noun phrase I followed by a verb sa, and the moon is another phrase, and the telescope is a positional phrase. Now, one that you might remember from grammar school syntax is that there is a syntax structure, and if you, in this particular case, because we know that the moon is not typically something that can hold the telescope, that seeing must be by me or I, and the telescope must be in my hand, or I'm viewing the moon with a telescope. However, it is possible that in different contexts, the moon could be referred to an animated picture, animated species, and could hold the scope. In that case, the situation might be that I'm actually seeing a moon holding a telescope. I mean, the moon is a telescope, and I'm seeing the moon holding the telescope. And this is one of the most complex linguistic ambiguity, linguistic phenomena that requires world knowledge, and it's called the P attachment, where the positional phrase attachment can be ambiguous, and various different cues have to be used to reduce the ambiguity. So in this case, as you saw, both the reading are technically true depending on different contexts. So one thing we could do is the tree and duplicate, and then create another node and call it an art node. And because this is one of the interpreters, now let's call one iteration A, and that iteration essentially exists tiles of node A, and says that the moon holding the telescope. Now we get another representation B, where we capture the other interpretation where the moon, or I am holding the
telescope. Sorry, everyone, to interrupt the audio here. Samir, can you move your mouse a little bit? Just move it to the corner of your screen. Thank you.
Now we have two separate interpretations. In the same structure, and all the other work we do is very quickly a few keystrokes. Now, while at it, we had another interesting thing. This tool that represents, it can be the she, it can be the chun, or it can be the people. Basically, any entity that has the capability to see would can be substituted in this particular code. And let's see what we have here. Now we just are getting sort of a zoom view of the entire structure we created. And essentially, you can see that by just using a few strokes, we're able to capture two different interpretations of a simple sentence. And we were also able to add various alternate pieces of information that could help machine algorithms generalize. All right. Let's go to the next thing. In a sense, we can use the power of functional structures to represent very potentially conflicting and structured reads of that piece of text. In addition to that, we can also create texts which with different structure and have them in the same place. This allows us to address the interpretation of sentence that would be occurring in the world while simultaneously giving information that had more value. This makes the enrichment process all very efficient. Additionally, this we can envision that a power user of the future or person who can not only expand but also them in information into a way that would help algorithm general better by making efficient use of their actions. Together, X and Argmo can speed the enrichment of notes in a way that allows us to focus on certain aspects and ignore others. Extremely complex landscape structures can be kept consistent in a fashion that allows computers to understand language. We can then have tools to enhance the tasks that we do in our everyday life. Grammar is the acronym or the type classification that we are creating to capture this new present rich representation. We'll look at an example of spontaneous speech that occurs in spoken conversations. Conversations frequently contain in speech interrupts this fluency, verbal sounds such as cough or laugh and other noises. Since spontaneity is similar to a functional stream, we cannot take back that come out of our mouths. We tend to make mistakes and correct ourselves as soon as we realize we have spoken. This process manifests through a combination of a handful of mechanisms in immediate action after an error, and do this consciously. Computers, on the other hand, be taught is an example or eye or part of a human that places various different aspects of the representation. We don't have time to go through many of the details. I would highly encourage you to play. I'm making some videos or asking cinemas that I'll be posting, and you can, if you're interested, you can go through those. The idea here is to try slightly more complex use case, but given the time constraint and the amount of information that fit in the screen, this would be very informative, but at least it will give you some idea of what can be possible. And in this particular case, you're saying is that there's a sentence which is what I am telling now. essentially there is a repetition of the I am, and then there is a word somebody tried to say something but start saying true, and then themselves telling that. So in this, you see, we can capture two words, a series of words, so sequence token. Interesting thing to is that in NLP, sometimes we have to typically words that have this interpretation and contracts I am, which is like I am. So the person needs to. But anyway, all you can see that here. This view shows is that with each the moves in the sentence or in the representation, you can have a lot of different properties that attach to them. And these properties are typically then, like in the earlier slide, but you can use of all these properties to various kind of searches and framing. And side here is actually not a legitimate syntax. On the right are descriptions of what each of these present. This information is also available in the article, and you can see there. But it shows how rich you can, rich context you capture. It's just a closer snapshot of the properties on node. And you see, we can have like whether the word is a token or not, it's incomplete, whether some want to be filtered for parsing and say this. Ignore, or some words are restart marked. We can mark add a restarter. Sometimes some of these migrations. The other fascinating this presentation is that you can edit properties in the view. So you have this filler data structure and combining hierarchical data structure. As you can see, you may not be able to, you're not able to see here. What has also happened here that some of the tags have inherited from earlier groups. And so you get a much picture things. And essentially, you can filter out things that you want to process them. And then integrate it into all. So in conclusion, today we have proposed and demonstrated the use of the architecture rail, which allows representation, manipulation, and aggregation of rich linguistic structures in a systematic fashion. We can grade how advanced tools available for building machine learning models simulate understanding. Thank you very much for your time and attention. Contact information is on this slide. If you are interested in an additional example that demonstrates the representation of speech and text together, continue. Otherwise, stop here.
Is it okay to stop?
Yes, Amir, it's okay to stop now. Okay. So thank you so much for your talk. Are you able to see the pad on your end?
In the Etherpad?
Yes, in the Etherpad. Do you have the link?
I'm there. Nothing has happened, I guess, so far.
So, Samir, you should be able to, I'm going to put the link to the pad. Give me just a second right now. Colwyn, feel free to interrupt me whenever you're here.
I'm actually looking at the product. I don't think any is added in it.
They don't seem to be questions yet. Yes. It's probably because of the audio problem. People might have a little bit of trouble hearing you talk. But that's fine. Do you have anything else you'd like to add on your talk, maybe? Because I think it was excruciating process to get it out to us. And
sorry.
You had to kill a lot of darlings in the process, didn't you? Yeah, you, in the process of preparing this talk, you had to select a lot of stuff that you wanted to include in your talk. Actually, Sami, can I ask you maybe to put on your webcam or something? Are you able to do this?
The 92.
All right, and I am starting to see a few questions come in.
Yeah, it looks like it. Can I stop your screen now?
Just let us know when you're ready.
Sure, go in. I'll let you take over.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. The audio is just a little bit choppy, right. But we'll just talk slowly, and hopefully that'll work fine.
Okay.
Well, thanks for the great talk. That was just kind of mind-blowing, actually. I'm looking forward to rewatching it probably two or three times.
Who is this?
This is Corwin again.
Okay.
So we do have a few questions coming in.
Yeah, I'm just going to answer them.
Well, I can read them to you, and then we'll transcribe your answers if you'd like to answer them live.
I see. That might be. Let me do that. The 92 UPenn copyright is the pen tree, but yes, that has been to depth, and people are preparing perfect scores on. But that's not quite. Depth. I mean, sometimes communities. Sometimes the research community goes too far measuring numbers and reuses evaluations and don't really transfer to domains. But there are richer and newer data that are available, and so it is always we are in the process, and I am personally and a couple of my colleagues, we are getting new data so that you can actually make sure the learning model is better.
Oh, shoot. And then I failed to unmute myself in the on the stream here. Okay. And I think you're answering in text right now, one of these, so I'll just let you drive. Okay. So please, one thing I'll add is please read the question that you're answering when you read out your answers.
Yes.
And we're showing the pad on the stream, so people are seeing the text, and that's probably a good approach considering we're having a little shakiness with the audio. In fact, I think my audio may be pretty stable, so I'll just start reading out both the questions and the answers. But Sameer, if you wanna, you're welcome to interrupt me if you wanna expand on your remarks at all. So the first question was, has the 92 UPenn corpus of articles feat been reproduced over and over again using these tools? The answer was not quite. That was a sort of a first wave. The particular corpus was the first one that started a revolution, kind of. But there are more corpora being made available. In fact, I spent about 8 years, a decade ago, building a much larger corpus with more layers of information. And it is called the Onto Notes. It covers Chinese and Arabic, DARPA funded. This is freely available for research. To anyone, anywhere. That was quite a feature, quite a feat. The next question, is this only for natural languages like English or more general? would this be used for programming languages? And Samir said, I am using English as a use case, but the idea is to have it completely multilingual. I cannot think why you would want to use it for programming languages. In fact, the AST in programming languages is sort of what we are trying to build upon, what we are trying to build upon. So that one can capture the abstract representation and help the models learn better. These days, the models are trained on a boatload of data, and so they tend to be overfitted to the data. So, if you have a smaller data set, which is not quite the same as the one that you had the training data for, then the models really do poorly. It is sometimes compared to learning sine function using the points on the sine wave, as opposed to deriving the function itself. You can get close, but then you cannot really do a lot. You cannot do a lot, really do a lot better with that model. This is sort of what is happening with the deep learning hype. It is not to say that there hasn't been a significant advancement in the tech, in the technologies, but to say that the models can learn is an extreme overstatement. Awesome answer. I'm gonna scroll my copy of the pad down just a little bit. And we'll just take a moment to start looking at the next question. So I'll read that out. Reminds me of the advantages of pre-computer copy and paste. Cut up paper and rearrange, but having more stuff with your pieces. Right. Kind of like that, but more intelligent than copy paste, because you could have various local constraints that would ensure the information is consistent with the whole. I am also envisioning this as a use case of hooks. And if you can have rich local dependencies, then you can be sure as much as you can that the information signal is not too corrupted. Have you used it on real life situations? No. I'm probably the only person who is doing this crazy thing. It would be nice, or rather, I have a feeling that something like this, if worked upon for a while, by many people, might lead to a really, really potent tool for the masses. I feel strongly about using, I feel strongly about giving such power to the users and be able to edit and share the data openly so that they are not stuck in some corporate vault somewhere. Amen. One thing at a time. Yeah, plus one for that as well. All right, and I'll read out the next question. Do you see this as a format for this type of annotation specifically, or something more general that can be used for interlinear glosses, lexicons, etc.? Absolutely. In fact, the project I mentioned, OneNotes, has multiple layers of annotation, one of them being the propositional structure, which it uses for a large lexicon that covers about 15,000 verbs, so 15,000 verbs and nouns. In all their argument structures that we have been seeing so far in the corpora. This is about a million propositions that have been released recently. We just recently celebrated a 20th birthday of the corpus. It is called the Prop Bank. There's an interesting history of the banks. It started with tree bank, and then there was prop bank with a capital B. But then, when we were developing OntoNotes, which contains syntax, named entities, conference, resolution, propositions, word sense, all in the same whole.
Hey, Cohen, sorry for the interruption. We have about 5 minutes and 15 seconds until...
I can add the stuff later.
That sounds good. If you want to just read it out then, and I think that would be the most important thing, that people can hear your answers, and I and the other volunteers will be going through and trying to transcribe this. So go for it.
So, Samir, just to make sure, did you have something to say right now?
Okay. I think there are all questions, and there is a lot, and clearly the amount of time is not enough. But I'm trying to figure out how, you know, to it have a community that pitch in and help. Such a one of the things that I'm imagining that this could make possible is to take all of these disparate resources that have inconsistent or not quite compatible additions on them, and which are right now just island of data, small island data floating in the seas, like, you know, but representation could really bring them all sort of together, and then they could be much rich, full, and consistent, and sort of would, like you say, you know, one of you were asking about balance and the subcorpora that have sentiment information and information. I am there's a lot of various common people. The way it could be used common people is to potentially make available that that currently doesn't recognize current models don't do well, and so that more people can use data and not be biased towards one or the other. So for and there are sometimes things when people train these models using huge amount of data, no matter how big the data is, it is a small cross section of universe of data, and depending on what drop select build your model, those will be biased against for those. And some people will be interested in using the model for X, but somebody else might want to use it for purpose Y. And if the data is not in, then it's hard to do that.
Okay. So I think we've got just about 100 seconds left. So if you have any closing remarks you want to share, and then we'll start transitioning.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate this was an experience, frankly. I've heard a complete pre-recorded and level of talk before, I guess. In a way, it was a very different audience. It was extremely helpful, and I learned that early planning sort of try and community that could make take sure. This some
right. Thank you so much. Corwin, I'll take it over. We are going to move to the next talk. Thank you so much, Samir, and sorry for the technical difficulty. As Corwin said, we will try to manage as much of the information that was shared during this Q&A. We will file everything away where we can use it. We can use it and, you know, make captions and all this, so don't worry about the difficulty. And for now, we're going to move to the next talk in about 1 minute. Samir, one last time, thank you so much, and we'll be getting to the next talk soon.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye, Samir.
Yeah.